Miss Kim is sick tonight, and so that's why she is not here. She will, she is recovering, so she'll be okay. But several people have just had fevers, and like Twyla had a fever, nothing else. But she's going to stay away from people, so Ryan's going to get it, so that's awesome. but let's pray for one another. It's certainly the season, and so let's pray for one another. Just thinking about what's going on in the world right now, certainly should draw our attention to this truth that God is consistently pleading for men to repent everywhere. Consistently. So you can take all of these things and you can call them atrocities, you can say never seen since blah blah blah. But everything God does is for one reason, to draw attention to himself. So he didn't tell these people to do this. Sin caused it, certainly the atrocities. But I was thinking back over the last, especially couple of weeks, and some of the videos and pictures coming out. I know we all think this is new, but if you read your Bible, it is absolutely not new. This is exactly what they did every time they went into Israel. They beheaded people. They burned them. This is not new. In Israel, the war that's going on there is nothing new. We're all acting like it's never happened before. In fact, it's been way worse. And not to say that I'm not praying for them, not to say I'm agreeing with it, but I do know why. God's trying to get our attention. And if you think about this, this kind of activity going on in the world is going to be, I don't think it's an over-exaggeration to say 1,000 times worse during the tribulation. And people without Christ, because they will be so blinded by the truth, will blaspheme God, which is exactly what the Islamics are doing now. They're blaspheming God, the God, true Jehovah God. And so it's interesting because in Malachi, which is where we're going, Malachi chapter number 3, this kind of problem that Israel's even facing right now is still, the root of it is still this section of Scripture. Remember that God has restored them to the land. They were in captivity for 70 years. Now, about 90, 95 years later, Nehemiah has come into the land. He's built the walls. He's restored the worship. Ezra has helped. They've read the scriptures. They've committed themselves to God. And then Malachi is written because in the last 2 years that are recorded by Nehemiah, and evidently the last 2 years that are recorded in the Old Testament of all of this before the 400-odd years of silence, we see the children of Israel still responding the way they did before the captivity. And what we see, what we've seen to this point, what we'll continue to see by the time we get to Matthew is the same attitude. And it is this: God, you have no right to tell me what to do. Now, this is a world problem, but the problem would be even stated more like this these days: God, you have no right to tell me how you made me. If I feel like I'm something else, then I am. Or if I feel like you made me and you made me an error, then you made the error, I did not. Now, you go, how? You'll see in this section of Scripture that it's way more than about tithe that God is talking about. It's about a general attitude. People that don't tithe have this attitude. It just is what it is. Because it's a biblical statement that God makes, and he will speak to them concerning something that's significant that shows their heart. So we've already been through the first 6 verses, and we know that God never changes. That's very important to remember, because still in 2023, God still hasn't changed his mind about Israel. They're still the only entity in the world that's kept all the way through time is Israel, even to the end. Read your Bible. Pretty amazing. So if you're thinking this is the tribulation, we're not even close to that. That's going to be a worldwide, catastrophic, supernatural event where there will be no mistaking the world is being judged by the God of the universe. But here, God makes some statements to help draw their attention. And I believe that's what's happening even for Christians today. Draw our attention. I went on the internet just out of curiosity, because I know these kinds of incidences bring about questions. So I went for, what are people searching for on the internet? You know what it is? Is this the tribulation of the Bible? That's one of the number one hits on the internet. People are thinking about it. And most of the questions are coming not from America, they're coming from other countries. Americans are so oblivious, they have no idea. They're watching Old Bachelor, whatever his name is. Golden Years Bachelor, I think, is what it is. An old guy winning women's hearts, young, older women's hearts. Congratulations, we're such a bunch of rubes watching old people on TV. I can do that at my house. And it's more fun because my parents are funny. I mean, between the four of us, we could have a sitcom. It's so awesome. Throw the dog in. We're all messed up. It's amazing to me, as I was reading this and studying this again, just how our attention is so drawn away from what God's intent is. And it's this. I don't know if this makes any sense, but it's like, why are you looking over there? I need your attention here. You don't understand what's getting ready to happen. So he says this in verse number 7 about him not changing. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's word. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. So this isn't just about one ordinance. This is an example. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your love. Thank you for the great missions conference we've just experienced and the way you've touched our hearts about giving to missions. And Lord, I thank you that even though giving is addressed here, it's not the root of the problem. And certainly there's no doubt that we struggle with the root of this problem. And so I pray that you would help us, God, to have our attention drawn to what you'd have us to learn, that the truth would flow freely and be received freely. God, I need you. There's no doubt that I cannot convey these truths without the unction of the Holy Spirit in the right manner. So I pray that you'd help me and guard my mind and my mouth, and help our attention to be drawn to you. And if there's anyone here tonight that is not paying attention to the timeline and not paying attention to you trying to gain our attention, Maybe they're not saved here tonight. They've never accepted you as their Savior. I pray that they would see the heart of the matter here. That you've been reaching out all along, trying to gain man and calling him to repentance. And that we continually refuse. Lord, use this in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the problem that we see is, or God's problem with the children of Israel and his problem with people today and the world in general is this truth that no matter how long God has tried to gain the attention of man, for instance, he says to them specifically, since the days of your fathers you went away from mine ordinances. Now, you can go all the way back to Exodus when God started giving them the ordinances, and it was 40 days and 40 nights, and they were already building a golden calf. It wasn't very much longer, and they were breaking the Sabbath. It wasn't very much longer, and they went into the land, and the book of Judges is full of their rejection of obedience to God. In fact, Samson, as I have reread these passages recently, Samson himself had so much God had given him and understood by the message of the angel to his parents what he was supposed to do and what he was not supposed to do, and he blatantly disobeyed. But that was just a picture of Israel overall, because they were just living with the Philistines like nothing happened. They were living without any weapons because the Philistines said to. They had given them their land because the Philistines said to. Do you know Philistine is where the word Palestinian comes from? Just thought you should know that. Which means invader. Very interesting. So they knew you get into the days of the kings, and there were only really 1.5 kings that made it all the way through. And the half a king was Josiah. It wasn't Solomon. That's a bummer. It's amazing to me how many times, if you read the Old Testament through, God reached out. And God says in verse number 6, I haven't changed. So here's what you need to know. God's still reaching out. God still desires and says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. James says, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. God's plea for man is still the same. If you'll just come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's still the same God. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that means he wants Christians to be right with him. Not just the world in general to be saved, but Christians to be right. And let me just say, I believe that it is our urgent and greatest responsibility to see souls saved. But in our own personal lives, it should be our urgent and our greatest responsibility to be right with God as Christians, as followers of Christ, as so-called believers in Christ. Our mind, our heart should be, God, all I want to do is stay near you. All I want to do is return. You're the most important person in my life. There is nothing else. There is no one else. There's nothing that can usurp your position, not even me. He says, if you'll return to me like that, I'll return to you. Now remember, we're looking at Nehemiah 13, and you can reference this later. But when you look there, they didn't have everything wasn't going real great in their timeline, because they had stopped doing what they were supposed to do for about 2 years. And so here's what we, kind of the in-between lines that are filled in for Nehemiah 13 are here, that they were suffering and struggling because they would not return wholly to God. Now, this is the importance of Malachi that weighs heavy on me. And it's this. This is the last time that God spoke to them before Jesus came. He didn't speak to them in the Maccabean period like people would like us to believe. He didn't tell certain people to write books while he did not inspire scripture in between those times. Malachi's the last guy to write in the Old Testament. He's the last true prophet in the what we would call the Old Testament canon or books. For 400 years, the next Old Testament prophet would be John the Baptist. So for 400 years, they were settling into this, and here's why. Here's why. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Their response in questioning God's plea was why? Why do we have to return? Why can't you change? When they say wherein, they're saying, no, we're not the ones that are wrong here. God, you're not doing things our way. That's the problem. It's exactly what they're saying. It's exactly what we say. Well, no. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And here's what we say. I can't go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and all of a missions conference, or all of a revival. God, you need to change your mind about not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. Well, that's what every preacher pulls out to get people to obey. No, that's a command. It's not a request. Pray without ceasing. It's a command. It's just a statement. Do it. Love even as God for Christ's sake, or forgive one another as God, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Love one another, and all men shall know you're my disciples in that ye love one another. And we say, it's too hard to love that person. It's too hard to forgive that person. God, I don't need to change. You need to change. Here's the one that he picks, just so you know. So I think whether you agree or not, it doesn't matter, because this is what he says. It doesn't matter whether I agree with it. He says, you're saying, why do we need to return? Why should we return? We're right where we're supposed to be. Wherein shall we return? So God gives them the answer. Will a man rob God? Uh-oh. Now, I don't know if you know this, but in their culture, to call them robbers and thieves, this was bad. This is God coming face to face with their reality. Now, Jesus would talk about this in a different way when the Pharisees came to him and they said to him, should we pay taxes to Caesar? What do you think about that? And Jesus said, and you know, some of y'all are going, no, I don't think we should pay taxes. That's too bad. Because this is what Jesus said. Do you have a coin? Yes. Whose inscription is on it? Caesar's. Then render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. But here's how he addresses this. And render unto God the things that are God's. So he says, wherein will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Okay. How have we robbed you? Not only did they reject the reject returning, but they rejected that they were disobeying. So this is a process that goes on in our minds. This is how we move farther and farther from God. This is when we decide to take our family out of church, or this is when we decide that these people are not worth forgiving, or these people are not worth loving, or these people should not be prayed for, or I don't have to give God anything because I did it all myself. This is where the attitude comes from. He's addressing the attitude. We see an action that reveals the attitude, but he's addressing an attitude, an overall attitude. People don't just stop giving. They have an attitude about God. And they might even say this. And you go, Brother Ron, is there this going on? I'm just telling you, this is true. It's just, as a matter of fact, they have to make an excuse. So what do they say? I would give except for that guy. Or I would give except they did this. Or I would do this because of this, but I can't do it because of this. This is what God is addressing. It's an attitude. If you had children, you've seen this attitude. Harper can have this attitude. She's evil. And so she can be told something. She can be as sweet as, just sweet as, and beautiful and cute, and look at her crystal blue eyes, and she even smiles, and 2 seconds later, it's a bad deal because you said no, or you said, that's not how we're going to act. Now, when you can see it in kids, here's what you need to know. God sees it in us even when no one else sees it. I would rather see it in a child to know it's there to have them than to have them fake me out. Teenagers are really good at this. They weave their lives around their lives, and they hide everything from their parents or from people in authority, and they think nobody sees it. And here's what God says. I see it, and I want you to return to me, and I want you not to rob me of my glory. I want you to do right. I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to be punished. I don't want you to experience my chastisement. I don't want you to. Why? Well, I'm going to chastise those I love, and so you're not going to get away with it. God desires this for them. But their heart says, well, we don't agree that we're disobedient. So you got those two things. Let me just stop here and throw in one free, because it just occurred to me. But if you don't ever agree that you're disobedient, you'll never fix what the problem is, so you'll never return. Until you agree that it's disobedience, you'll never see the reason to return. Until you say, wait, this is sin. This is absolutely against God. No, no, no. Not against mom and dad, not against the church, not against a person. This is against God. God gave me this commandment, and just like my fathers, I chose not to obey. I'm finding ways out of it. That's exactly what he tells them. He says, I am telling you, you have made a choice in your heart to be these people on your own. Your parents, just because your parents raised you a certain way doesn't mean you're the way you are. Just because you were born to certain parents doesn't mean you are the way you are. You choose who you are. And no matter what excuse they could come up with, they were not going to be able to refute the truth. And the truth was, they were robbing God. And they say, wherein have we robbed God? In tithes and offerings. Then God brings them the proof that they should be able to easily see that this is an area that they have allowed to be disobedience in their life consistently, and they still ignored the repercussions for it. So, I don't know. I know my mom and dad, I don't know if it's legal anymore. I don't really care what's legal anymore because I don't have children. But if we ever, man, if we ever said cuss words, not only was there a spanking, there was soap. Washing your mouth out with it. There were repercussions. And that soap taste does not go away. Now, if you're asking if I said bad words, I'm just saying that soap taste never goes away. I've gotten in my mouth in the shower, and it was very bad. soap taste. Never, because I'm not admitting anything. I'm just saying. And so let me ask you this. Have you ever done something and it ended badly and you did it again? Thank you. That young man right there is being honest. I like it. Thank you, Mason. That's a blessing. Because all the older people are going, I'd never do that. Chaz, have you ever done something and then done it again and it was the same exact, you got in trouble again? Yeah. Has he?
Absolutely.
It's, yeah. I'm not asking my parents. I'm telling you, isn't it amazing that we can, even something as simple as God giving, so these, all of the observances that God has made in Malachi, by the way, were written down. They weren't just statements he made. Like, oh, you said that to Moses. I think he forgot to tell us. No, it was all written down. Every one of the observances that he says that they have broken or things that they have said are in direct violation of his written word. This is no different. If you wanted it, it's Leviticus 27, 30 through 32. God clearly states what belongs to him. God clearly gives them a tithe amount. Tithe means tenth. They were supposed to give a tenth of it. He told them when to give it, how to give it. He told them how to offer their offerings. And he then told them, I never required you to give an offering, but when you give an offering, you give it this way, because I'm not just some God. But they treated him, and that's the first part, chapter number one, they treated him like he was just some God. Now he's specifically breaking down to them, here's what's going on. You robbed me of the tithe. And so in verse number 9, the things that I said would happen to you if you took the tithe are happening. You're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He begins speaking to them individually, but now he's trying to call them out as a nation. For a nation to change, individuals have to agree that they're in disobedience. For a church to change, individuals have to agree they're in disobedience. Maybe everybody in the whole church needs to change, but it can't start until you start, until I start. Well, I don't know why they're that way. Wait. Are you? I would never. Wait, that tells me you would. We're very quick to say, well, if they would get right, but it's not realized disobedience by the whole until everyone agrees it's disobedience. You should note that even when we get to the end of Malachi, they never agree with God. Ever. By the time Jesus gets there, they are in such disagreement with God that they don't believe he's the Messiah. And he flat out told them what to look for when the Messiah came. So there was no reason for them to be this way. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. If you remember back in Nehemiah 13:10, they had taken all of the stores out of the temple and they had removed them so Tobiah could move in. And God says, just do right. Just do right. If you would just do the right thing. Well, it's too hard. No. Just do right. He doesn't ask them to do something that he's not already instructed them to do. He just says, do what you're supposed to do. I remember saying to my children, both of them at different times, please just tell me the truth. Just tell me what happened. Don't tell me I didn't say just the facts, but I said, don't tell me why you think it was right to do. Just tell me what happened. And do not tell me, and do not disagree that what I told you was wrong. I want you just to tell me, well, Dad, you said this, and I didn't think, well, that's not what I wanted to hear, because that doesn't matter what you think. God says, here, it's an attitude. Here's the attitude. Why do we need to return? How have we robbed you? I mean, God, we aren't the problem here. You're the problem. Well, let me tell you how to solve the problem, God says. Isn't this nice? God's not going to argue with them. Here's how we solve the problem. You do what you're supposed to do, and I'll do what I'm going to do. And he again gives them the promise. If you will do what you're supposed to do, I will pour out blessings that you won't be able to receive. Now, I know that we like to adopt this for tithing, and I don't believe that it's wrong, but I'm going to tell you, it has everything to do with the attitude. Because if you're just giving to get, you're not giving for the right reason. That's disobedience. If you're giving because you think, oh, it's a requirement, then you're giving for the wrong reason. You and I should give because we agree with God. That's all he wants, is someone to agree with him. And then he says, watch what I'll do when you agree. When you agree to return because you need to return, and when you agree to give because you're robbing me and you're admitting it, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pour out blessings on you that you're not going to be able to receive, and then I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So watch, you give to me what I've asked you to do, and here's what I'm going to do, give you back more than you can possibly have ever given me. And it's a cycle. Try to outgive me. Try it. Then he says, and all nations, and here's the point of this section, and all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not so that you can receive the blessings that I want this to happen. I want people to see what happens when you obey me, so that they will be drawn to the truth. And therein is the problem. They were only finally, third point, only finally, they were only concerned about themselves. They didn't care what the world thought about God. They didn't care about their testimony. They only cared about themselves. You go, well, that's so. So let me kind of break it down like this. Pretty simple. I don't think our big problem by and large is to return to God. I don't think there's any, and I don't know everyone's level of wickedness or sin, because some people are great at hiding it. Let's just be honest about it. That's how you can't know somebody saved or lost by the way they're sitting in church. You just can't. You can't tell whether they're saved or lost by the way they talk. God knows. You can see their response when they're caught in the sin with their response to the calling to repentance. Do they reject it because they don't believe they've sinned? Then there's a big problem. Big, big problem. They definitely need to return. Because if you're not willing to admit that it's sin, hear me, if you're not willing to admit that it's sin, you're never going to return. So why? Because you won't need to. I don't think, and there may be people here that are not willing to admit that they're wicked sinners. If you're going to come to God, you've got to admit who you are. You got to quit playing the game. God already knows. What are you hiding from? Is it going to be worse if people find out? God already knows. That's worse than anything you can possibly imagine. Here's our problem. We don't care how it makes God look, because we only care about ourselves. Our eyes are on us. Our treasures, our comforts, how we look in front of people, what people think about us. We're very much like Saul, the first king. Turn and worship with me so at least the elders will think that I'm right with God and I'm still king. Our big problem in America today, our big problem overall, is the fact that we say to God when he says return, why should I return? We say to God, wherein have we robbed you? You're wrong. God, you're the one who needs to change. You don't even know. This is not sin. You're just saying it. This is not sin. And by the way, I don't really care what people think about you. All I care is about what people think about me. You may say, Brother Ron, that's a pretty big jump. Well, if you read Nehemiah 13, there was a reason Tobiah was in the temple. It's because somebody was related to him and wanted to look good in the people of the land's eyes by bringing their father-in-law into the temple to live in luxury. So they'd have a little clout among the locals. So they would look good. You know what Nehemiah did? And I chased him out of my sight. Somebody better care about God's name among the heathen. Somebody better care about that unsaved friend or that unsaved loved one or that unsaved coworker. Somebody better start saying to God, no, not only do I need to return, but I need to start admitting what sin is and quit arguing so that you will be seen and people will say, no, no, this is what happens when God blesses a life. I've said it before and I'll never forget it. When Brother Whiteside was buried, a man that he worked with that I had never met, had never been in this church, worked with him for years. And I believe it's the only funeral that ever happened to me. I'm not saying there weren't others, but I know it's the only time that I remember it ever happening, and walked up to me and said, I never have been in this church. I didn't really ever listen to him, but I will tell you this much. He was exactly the man you said he was. And all that was said was he glorified God with his life. We talked about the things that he had done around the building and how he had been in the church. And do you know when you die, that's all that's going to matter? What people think about God. Man, I don't want anybody reading. I don't want anybody standing up over me saying, he did, he did, he did. That's a waste of time. If God didn't do it, it wasn't worth a flip. And the children of Israel were more worried about how they looked. And again, all you have to do is get to Matthew, and it lived over 400 years. It lived, that attitude lived, and just got worse. With the Romans, they became Romans so that they could look good. God said, man, if you'll just obey, you won't be able to receive what I can do. And they said, well, we don't need to. You're the one who needs to change. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us, and thank you for the Word of God that speaks to our hearts. Thank you, God, so much for the fact that you are constantly reaching out to us. You're constantly calling us to return. And still,